All of our lives, we are taught to be nice, right? Especially at Christmas time, because the alternative is naughty, and you don't want to be naughty. You want to be nice. You know, kids, how many times has your mom said, don't say that to him, that wasn't nice. You know, be nice. Well, a lot of times we associate niceness and kindness together. And I think that's, you know, not a bad comparison. Because we ought to be kind, and kindness and nice and sir, you know, I think are very similar. However, I want to show you through this passage very briefly tonight that according to the Bible, there's one very important difference between kindness and niceness, or at least there's a very important element of kindness that has to be there, and if it's not there, it's not kindness at all. And we learn this from God. So here's the question is, what is this missing element? Well, let me sort of put it in story form. When we started this church 10 years ago, we talked a lot about this particular thing, and it's called grace. And we found something kind of surprising, that there's a lot of people who don't really know what that means, haven't really heard it before, haven't really maybe don't really have a different meaning for it. Remember, we had a Bible study, and we had a guy there named Chuck, who's a neighbor to Denise and Doug. A great guy, Chuck, and we were talking in this Bible study about grace, and he kind of pulled me aside one night time, and he said, you know, I mean, and this guy had grown up in the church all his life. He said, you know, at my church, we don't really use that word. I mean, we just don't really talk about it. I'm not really sure what you mean by that. And now, for the record, I'm convinced that Chuck has experienced grace, and if you're not sure what that is, we'll get to that in a second, but he just didn't recognize the word. Now, we met other people that, you know, that I think hadn't experienced it, maybe didn't want to experience it. We used to have these car washes where we would do car washes for free, and we thought we'd have this great illustration. Like, people would come, and we'd wash their cars, and then we wouldn't take any money, you know, because we want to show them that God's grace is free. You know, great idea, right? Well, it's great for some people. And then there are other people that just are intent that they're going to pay, doggone it, for that car wash. And they would get angry at us. And one guy threw a $20 bill out his window as he was leaving. And some other things, I think he said, too. And he was not going to get a free car wash. You know, those kinds of things kind of still happen because we went caroling the other night in our neighborhood here on Mammoth and then behind here. We went to one of our neighbors and sang for him. And after he said, hey, Pastor, when are you going to be back in the church? And I said, well, I'll be there on Tuesday. Well, I'll leave a little something in the mailbox for you. And I was like, you know, you don't need to do that. You don't need to pay us for because, you know, our singing was good, but it wasn't that good. and so I got here Tuesday, and sure enough, there's a little Christmas card with a $10 bill in it. And I just shook my head. It's like, it's a microcosm. It's a picture of what our society is like. We like to give gifts. I mean, we like to receive gifts, but we want to give them too. We want there to be an even exchange. And if it's one way, that's problematic. And it's because of this idea of grace. So I want to show you that if you want to have kindness, you got to have grace. God's kindness is based in his grace. So I promise this is short. Three things, very quickly. First of all, I want you to see that God's kindness pursues us. The Apostle Paul had a really radical change. He used to be somebody who threw Christians in jail and killed them. And then one day, he changed, and he actually became a Christian. So you can't get a whole lot more radical than that. But he said in this passage, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. In other words, he said at a certain time, God's kindness, boom, showed up. And we learn at Christmas that is when Jesus came, right? When Jesus became conceived and born and lived a perfect life, and later died on a cross and rose again from the dead, that was God's kindness, God showing his kindness. In fact, the word that Paul uses here is the word where we get our word epiphany, January 6th. It's how God's grace showed up. Well, did we have anything to do with that? Well, of course we didn't. You know, that was God's idea. He planned it. He carried it out. Now, this is something that happened in the past, but it still has effects on us now. In the Old Testament, there's a book named Ruth that's about a woman named Ruth. I know it's a big surprise. This is a woman who grew up in a country where she had never heard of the God of the Bible. She ended up marrying an Israelite man Later he died. I'm sort of fast-forwarding through, you know, the details of the story. But she ends up coming back to Israel with her mother-in-law, ends up marrying somebody else. Anyway, long story short, she becomes the great-grandmother of King David of Israel, and she actually ends up in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And this is somebody who never even heard of the God of Israel when she, you know, her whole growing up. That's what the Bible calls kindness wrapped in grace. It's a gift. So that's sort of the past. Now I want to talk about the present. God's kindness rescues us. I'm going to read another part of this that has some pretty long words in it, but I'll try to define them in case they're new to you. Paul says he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy. So God sent Jesus in the past, but he shows kindness to us in the present, in our lifetimes. Now, how many of you have heard the word saved before? You know, somebody said, you know, somebody used the word, hey, are you saved? I got to tell this story. I had a friend of mine in Charlotte, North Carolina, who took his friend to an Easter service one time, and he said, they got to the end, and they were walking out, and the pastor was at the end of the aisle, and he said, oh, this is my pastor, I'll introduce him to you. And the guy stiffened up, and he said, well, I don't know if I want to meet him. Is he going to save me? And so my friend Blick said, well, you know, only God can save you, so don't worry about that. And he said, good, because I've already been saved. And he said, really? Well, tell me about it. He said, well, I was riding my motorcycle one day, and I ran out of gas, and I came up to a gas station, and I didn't have any money, and I said, I need some gas. And the guy said, well, I'll give you some gas if you let me save you. And he said, okay, sure, I just need some gas. Knock yourself out. And so he whacked me on the head, and he said, you're saved! So that's not exactly what we're talking about here. It's a little different definition of the word saved. So everyone is born with what I tell my kids is a sinful want to, a desire in our heart to do things that we're not supposed to do, like Frankie. You know, Frankie, he knew he was not, his dad said, don't take the orange. What did he do? Took the orange. And every one of you probably at some point in your life, maybe recently, did something like that, where you did something you're not supposed to do. And even sometimes they're wrapped up in good intentions. Frankie, you know, he has good intentions, gives his sweater away. Our good and our bad, they're all kind of wrapped up together. But sometimes that desire results in very, very bad things in some people. But even when it doesn't, that desire in and of itself is contrary to God's nature. Well, God sent Jesus to fix what was broken. That desire inside of us is not the way we were made. And Paul says very clearly, God, the basis for it is, first he says what it's not because of works done by us in righteousness, not good things we try to do, but how does it come? According to his mercy. In other words, as a gift, just like a Christmas present. So Paul goes on to say how it happens, by the washing of regeneration. That's in other words, when God gives you a new heart, when he changes you through the Holy Spirit. So the basis of God's kindness, not our works, it's God's mercy. And how he does that is through changing our hearts. So if you recognize, and maybe if you have in the past, you recognize that your relationship with God has been broken because of your sin, and you've put your trust in Christ, God opened your eyes to that. God showed you. You didn't go looking for it. He actually came to you. And if you haven't done that, that's something that you can do. You can put your trust. That's what we call becoming a Christian. All right, the last thing real quick that Paul tells us here is that God's kindness keeps us. So he works in the past. He works in the present. He also keeps us for the future. He says, so that being justified, and again, this is a long word that Christians often use. It simply means being acquitted in a courtroom. If you commit a crime and you are acquitted, you have been declared innocent. That's what God does to those who trust in him. Being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We can live forever with God, not because we're nice people, which I'm sure you are most of the time, but not all the time. Not because we're nice people, but because Jesus paid our sin. Jesus paid the penalty that we deserved. And that's how we can have eternal life with him. And if this is something that you haven't experienced and you say, you know what, I want to know more about it, I would love to tell you more about it. This is the reason that we can show real kindness to other people. even those people that are not kind to us. And, you know, you remember Frankie in the story. Frankie giving his sweater, his favorite sweater, to some guy he's never met. That didn't just happen. That wasn't just because Frankie was nice. There was something inside of Frankie that God had changed and that made him want to do that. And you know what? Like Jump Up Billy, the Bible tells us that we all need something. And for you, it might not, you might not need a hot meal. You might not need clothing. But we all have a need for a new heart, for a changed heart, for a new, to become a new person. And God offers to do that through his son Jesus. And that kind of love produces kindness in us. So what I want to encourage you this Christmas is, please don't shortchange it. Don't patronize Christmas. Don't make it just about a sentimental feeling, because it's so much more than that. It is God entering history on a rescue mission for us. And that's the kind of kindness. That's the only kind of kindness that can change the world. Let's pray together. God in heaven, I thank you that that you have sent your son, and that this is a message that is so simple a child can understand, and yet the greatest minds in the world are absolutely befuddled by it. Lord, I thank you for the beauty of the gospel of the good news, and I thank you for the night that you sent Jesus to get it all started. Lord, bless our celebrations and remind us continually of what this is all about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to stand together with me.